Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, after the Apostle Paul has explained his great desire for the salvation of the people of the Jewish nation, how he showed that God intended to save both Jew and Gentile, and save them the same way, and that through this system of grace, through Jesus Christ, and having shown how that the Gentiles, for the most part, accepted Christ, but the Jews rejected the Lord, but it wasn't because God had cast away his people. It was because the Jewish people had simply refused to accept what the Lord had offered. And then Paul mentioned in verse 5 the election of grace. Friend, that can't be any doubt, as we study the system of salvation, that the whole thing is dependent upon Almighty God. Paul has made that plain. It's not of human origin, it is a divine origin. And it is because of the grace of God toward man. Now, man has responsibility to respond to that grace, but nonetheless, it is by the grace of God. And in chapter 11, beginning with verse 6, Paul mentions God's grace. He said, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blinded." Paul now mentions something in contrast between grace and works. Now, when we talk about works in the New Testament, we have to keep in mind that there are two kinds of works, at least two. There are works of man's merit, man's own goodness, man's own righteousness, by which we cannot be saved. And then, of course, there's the works of God. But there are works of obedience that man must obey to partake of the benefits of the works of God. Now, the works of the old law would not suffice to bringing about the salvation of man, but the works of obedience are necessary for the salvation of man. They are works of our own merit, by which one might think he could obligate God to bless him in some fashion. But the Scriptures make it plain that man cannot be saved by such works as these. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 89, it teaches that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of works. At the same time, the book of James makes it plain, whenever a man does something God directs him to do, he's working. But such are not works of merit. They're not works of the old Mosaic law. They are works of obedience to the commands of God, whereby he comes into the benefits of the grace of God. And when Paul talks about the works here in this chapter, he has reference to the works of merit, the kind of works by which we cannot accomplish our salvation or by the law of Moses. He mentions the election. Now, the election is declared to be by grace. God has selected, God has elected some to be saved. Now, not individually, this one would be saved, that one would be lost, but a certain class of people would be saved, and a certain class of people, unfortunately, will be lost. Those who believe and obey the gospel of Christ, God has elected them to salvation. Now, it's man's choice as to whether he is in that group or not. It depends upon his response to the gospel of Christ. But he said if it would be possible that salvation could be attained by works of merit, then it would not be by the system of the grace of God. Now, there are works of obedience that in and of themselves have no particular merit. They are of value only because God has said so. But meeting certain conditions is simply the procedure, friend, that God has devised, whereby he comes to partake of the mercy of God. And there is a clear distinction between meeting God's conditions by being obedient and earning what you receive. Salvation is by grace, which includes works of obedience. Well, what does all this mean? Paul asked. Israel did not obtain that which they sought, which was salvation. It was because they followed and continued to follow another system, a system other than the system of grace through faith. They desired salvation through the law of Moses, but salvation is through forgiveness of sins, and that's only accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, they remained blinded to the way that God wanted to save them. In verse he says, according as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should see not, ears that they should hear not, unto this day. And then he speaks of David. David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Paul refers here to a writing of the prophet Isaiah, and how God had allowed the Jews to possess or to had given them a spirit of slumber. That is, they had closed their eyes. They were as if they were asleep. They had shut their ears to anything that was contrary to what they were determined to follow. They were like that in the days of the first century. Unfortunately for the Jewish people, for the most part, they're still like that. But when he refers to David, David speaks of their table, that upon which they fed, and that upon which they fed was the law of Moses. It was a snare. It was a trap. It became a stumbling block to them because it allowed them to continue to follow after a system that God would not use to save their souls. In verse 11 he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Oh, God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Well, was it the design of God, was it his intent that Israel should behave in this disobedient fashion? Why, Paul says, God forbid. No, let it not be so. God never did want Israel to reject the very scheme that he was providing. John the Baptist has announced the coming of the kingdom. The Old Testament prophets had foretold the way of salvation. Indeed, the Israelites were to have first opportunity to receive it, and they did on the day of Pentecost. And they had more advantages than anyone else to seize this system of salvation with gladness. But the Jews, for the most part, refused to do so. And they still reject Christ in that way. But God used that rejection to appeal to the Gentiles, just as he used the acceptance of the Gentiles to later on make an appeal back to the Israelite people. But Paul emphasized that being a descendant of Abraham, that did not mean what it once did. God's children are spiritual children. They're the children of Abraham, Galatians 3 and verse 7. It's God, through the system God had provided through his Son, a system of grace and of mercy and of God's love, the blood of Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, man's faith in the gospel, and his obedience to the law of Jesus Christ. Those are all components. That's all part of what the book of Romans is emphasizing to me and to you. In verse 12, he says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now the fall of the Jewish people, the result was that opportunity for salvation, of course, was given to all mankind. As far as the Jew was concerned, the idea of termination of the law of Moses would be a fall. But remember, However that God had intended and planned that salvation, it was to be universally offered. The Jewish rejection of Christ hastened the opportunity to be extended to the Gentiles. And seeing how that the fall of the Jews brought opportunity to others, how much more good would be accomplished if the Jews had only favorably responded to the gospel of Christ? Paul says in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as that I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. And if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead?" Now, in the eyes of the Apostle Paul, as guided by the Holy Spirit, it was a tragic situation that the Jewish people that God used to bring the Messiah into the world, that those people rejected the very Christ that was to come and which God had promised and prophesied. But he said that was such a sad thing. But how much more glorious it would be if they had accepted the Christ. He pictures it as being like a resurrection. He said, "What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Now Paul is making an appeal to the Gentiles to assist him in bringing the Jews to salvation. He was searching for some means to provoke the people of his own flesh, the Jews, to be saved, and they would be received of God if they obeyed the gospel. It would be like, well, something most wonderful, the resurrection from the dead. Paul was hoping to find a way to provoke the Jews to obey the gospel like the Gentiles obeyed the gospel. For you see, Paul has already emphasized, all men sin, and that's what separates us from God. All men need forgiveness. It's by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Therefore, the offer of salvation is given to all men. It's a universal offer. It's not just to the Jew alone. It was never intended to be just to the Jew alone. It was never intended to be the law of Moses. It was intended through the system of grace, through Christ, and it was intended for both Jew and Gentile alike. Now the Apostle Paul goes further in this book, in this 11th chapter, to explain to us the relationship of the Jew and the Gentile, and he does it in terms that the people would understand. They understood about an olive branch being grafted in, an olive branch that was dead being broken off. He uses that, beginning with verse 16, to describe the spiritual condition and relationship of Jew and Gentile, how that though the Jew had rejected the Lord, they could come to him after all. The Gentile, they could come to the Lord by being grafted in. Well, we'll talk about this in our next broadcast, and we're going to be studying from the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 16. Friend, this is a most important study for the salvation of our souls. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.